So after a couple of weeks of these conflict stories in Mark's gospel, you know, there'll be more coming up. But finally, we have these wonderful little stories of gardeners and mustard seeds and things like that. How many, just out of curiosity, remember when I was a kid, women, girls, you know, my friends, like for confirmation and stuff, sometimes got these necklaces with little glass bulbs with little mustard seeds. Anybody remember those? Yeah? You still have yours? I should have had you brought it for us. So anyway, we got these wonderful little stories. And they're part of what's going on here is that Jesus was proclaiming God's new age was coming in among them. In that, but all evidence to the contrary, you know, where was the expectation was, well, this noble cedar stuff, you know, I mean, it was going to come and it was going to happen overnight and Israel would be renewed and well, didn't quite happen that way. And so Jesus tells the story of this mustard seed, the smallest of all. So, but there's a little more going on then. I want to also pick you to notice at the end, because you'll see this later. We're anticipating now getting into Mark later. At the end, Mark says, Jesus spoke to them, that's the crowds, in parables. He didn't speak except in parables. And then he took the disciples aside and explained everything to them. However, do you think they got it? In Mark's gospel, the disciples are dummies. I mean, he does these wonderful things and they don't get it. He explains it to them and they still don't get it. And we'll come back to that, you know, later on in months to come, in weeks. So I just wanted to point that out. Please stand for the gospel. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself. First the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes with his sickle because the harvest has come. And Jesus also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything. I wonder what he said. I've got an idea. But I'm getting ahead of myself. He explained everything in private to his disciples. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
God's beloved people. This past year has not been a very good and healthy one for the Nelsons. First, my daughter comes down with cancer, and just when she is finally finished with all the chemo and surgery and rehab and all that, my wife comes down with a big C too. Different variety and treatment, just to keep us on our toes, I suppose. And there were weeks, to be honest, when I came to church and all the Bible readings felt pointless. There were times when I could have cared less about what St. Mark had to say about the kingdom of God or anything else. I just wanted my daughter to be well and my wife to be restored to health and take communion for some reason. There are times when my spirituality is rather pinched, my imagination rather narrow, God's kingdom rather specific, and God's blessings a bit, shall we say, self-serving. Jesus must have a rather infuriating sense of humor, though, because today's two parables take my preferred version of God's kingdom of those days, not very long ago, and turn it completely upside down. I'll describe it this way. In my preferred version of God's kingdom, I do A, and God does B in response. Predictably and always. As in, I pray for my wife and daughter's healing, and God heals them today or yesterday at the latest. In my preferred version, I understand what the heck is going on at least 90% of the time. Okay, 95% of the time. Actually, it's 97.8%, but I don't demand perfection. In other words, you know, some answers to the why questions, so I don't have to swim around in the unknown. But my preferred version is not God's. In the first parable, Jesus tells in today's gospel, a gardener scatters seed on the ground and then goes off golfing all summer long. The seeds fend for themselves, or as Mark puts it, the earth produces of itself. And when the grain is ripe, the gardener harvests it. And then the second parable, someone plants a tiny mustard seed in the ground and it grows into a gigantic bush and it large enough to offer birds shelter in its branches. Now, both of these parables are ridiculous. They're big cosmic jokes, as is the case in all of Jesus' parables. They are intended to stretch our imaginations, to prod us into new and different ways of seeing and relating to the sacred. What is the kingdom of God like? You sure you want to know? Okay. Brace yourself. The kingdom of God is like a sleeping gardener, mysterious soil. The kingdom of God is like an invasive weed in a nuisance flock of birds. So let's start with the sleeping gardener. Okay, now just do a little personality test here. Are there any of you out there with any bit of perfectionism, perhaps? or just a little workaholism, something like that? How about neat freaks? Any neat freaks there? Or worriers? Do we have any worriers out there? Okay. Anybody like being in control? Any of you believe in work before play? Or practice vigilance in all things, then you already know what is wrong with that parable. Good gardeners don't toss a bunch of seeds in their backyards and then snooze away the growing season. Good gardeners plan and plod and hover. They make neat little rows in well-manicured beds. They keep a wary eye on the weather. They protect their gardens from birds and slugs and rabbits and deer. From spring until harvest, they water, they fertilize, they prune, they weed, they mulch, they watch, and they worry. The gardener in Jesus' parable, he scatters and sleeps. He doesn't slog. He doesn't micromanage. He doesn't second guess. Like a well-loved infant in his mother's arms, the gardener enjoys the deep rest that comes from trust. Trusting a process much older, larger, and more reliable than any he might conjure up. In this story of the kingdom, it is not our striving, our piety, our goodness, our impressive prayers that cause us to grow and thrive in God's garden. It's all gift, folks. It's all grace. Which brings us to the mysterious soil, or as Mark describes it, the automatic earth. Like that? According to Jesus' parable, the kingdom of God is both prolific and hidden. It is both generous and mysterious. It works its fertile magic underground, beneath the surface we see. The soil eventually brings forth all kinds of abundance. But the process of that bringing forth, all the nitty-gritty we long to master, is hidden from our eyes. We look at our fields, our farms and gardens full of hope and see only soil, expanses of uncertainty and delicate hope and potential. As Annie Dillard said, our life is a faint tracing on the surface of mystery. Now in Jesus' second parable, a sower sows mustard seed in the ground. And the joke here is not only that mustard seeds are really tiny, but in Jesus' day, people really didn't plant mustard seeds. First of all, they didn't have any hot dogs and brats, so they had no need of it. And secondly, and really, mustard was a weed, an noxious, stubborn weed at that. If a first century gardener in Palestine would be foolish enough to plant it, it would quickly take over the land, dropping seeds everywhere, breaking down all barriers of separation between itself and the other plants in the garden. Imagine, you gardeners out there of today, imagine planting Scotch broom among your tomatoes and ivy along with your cucumbers, and then hiring a landscaper to transplant those pretty yellow flowered dandelions into your lawn. See, these common nuisances we try to get rid of are not plants we grow on purpose. And mustard, moreover, is not a plant that grows with any stateliness or beauty. You know, it is nothing like that grand cedar of our first lesson, or the great Douglas fir, or even a rose bush. It grows like a weed, and it looks like, you guessed it, a weed. So what is Jesus saying when he describes the sacred and the holy as a kind of tiny mustard seed? What does it mean to take a weed, a plant we would rather discard than sow, and make it the very heart and center of God's kingdom? Who and what counts in God's eyes? What is beautiful? Who matters? Where do we see the sacred? And the last image in this set of parables is that of nesting birds finding shade in the branches of the mustard seed. Well, finally, we have this pretty, you know, beautiful picture on its face. But it too turns out to be a joke. Who of your gardeners out there, wants birds taking up residence in your gardens? Birds eat seeds and fruits. They can wreak havoc on a field. Why do farmers put up scarecrows? Birds. But Jesus isn't a scarecrow kind of farmer or gardener. Why? Maybe because the kingdom of God is about welcoming the unwelcome. Maybe we have this gospel today for those of you who missed last Sunday, where Jesus went home to Nazareth and declared the last, the lost, the least, the lame, and the little as his family. Maybe the garden of God doesn't exist for itself, but to offer shelter to everyone. So, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. It isn't always what I thought it would be. It doesn't operate the way I think it should. But I suspect that God knows better than I. And I suspect that's good news. Though it's not always easy news. It's not always easy to, one, live in trust like a child in its mother's arms. Two, accept mystery. Three, see God in the common, the everyday, the brown paper bag. Four, to embrace the unwanted as God's beloved. And five, to wait for the abundance of God's good garden. And so whenever we gather like this, whenever we gather again, we will say in just a few minutes, teach us to pray, thy kingdom come. Even as God's good gardeners, we continue as always to scatter God's seeds of grace and rest in God's peace and all that good stuff. Amen.